Well, and desire your prayers again tonight. We're always very needy of the Lord. I'd like to kind of start out tonight with asking you a few questions. Do you remember in the scriptures where the children of Israel was left Egypt and traveled out and went out to the Red Sea and was trapped at the Red Sea, and they looked and seen the Egyptians coming? And the scripture says that the sea opened up and the children of Israel walked across on dry land. Do you believe that? Do you believe that happened like that? I mean, that's quite a thing to happen, isn't it? If you believe that, it ought to do something for you if you believe it. Do you know that I think that a lot of people that seen it really didn't believe it very long? Didn't seem like. There was a scripture that said that in the days of Joshua, the scripture says that never before had God ever hearkened to the voice of a man like he did in the day of Joshua. God actually moved the sun backwards. There has never been recorded in the Bible a greater physical miracle, if you want to call it that, a miracle like that. The Red Sea just took care of the sea. When Jesus calmed the sea, it only had to do with a local area. But in the days of Joshua, he said he changed the motions of our solar system. You believe that? I mean, that's quite a thing to believe, isn't it? Do you believe that? I believe it. What we believe a lot of time is just a choice. Do you ever think about belief being a choice? It is a choice. You don't have to believe it if you don't want to. And you can believe it if you want to. I choose to believe that. I believe it because there's something bigger that I believe in. Do you believe tonight that God created everything that's known to be created? That He created it in 6 days. He made it all. Do you believe that? Because if you really believe that, it should alter the way we do things. It really ought to. It ought to be profound, Dennis. If we really believe that God created in 6 days everything that's created, you don't have to believe it. But I believe that. There is a thought that I hear from time to time that says that the days of miracles are past. That God had ordained that through the apostles and the gifts that they had, that the miracles that Jesus was performing, and He said, greater miracles would you do. But when the apostles died, the works of the apostles died with them. And from after the apostles died, then the days of miracles was past. Do you believe that? I don't believe it either. We've been talking about this week, a scripture in Hebrews 6 that says that I am persuaded better things of you and the things that accompany salvation. And I believe tonight that one of the things that accompany salvation is a faith to believe, and miracles follows and accompany salvation, because the greatest of all miracles, and it tops even in the days of Joshua, is salvation. I believe the greatest miracle is when a person is saved and changed from the old man to the new. But I want to talk about miracles tonight, and I hope this is an encouragement, and I hope it lifts every faith in here to the reality of a real living God that did not just leave His creation to go on its own, but an active living God that you and I serve today. When Abigail, our littlest one, was born, she's 8 months old, right at 8 months old. She was born with a difficulty in eating. And she's had it for quite a while. It was hard for her to swallow for some reason. It was hard for her to take in, and even at times she would push it back out. She could do it. Well, she learned how to take a bottle, and she learned how to eat in some ways, but over the time it was hard for her to eat. Well, we've been praying. And the Lord's helped her, and she's went normal on the eating. But in the meantime, she had developed a sleeping problem. A sleeping problem that was wearing me and my wife nearly out. And I know children have these things with sleep, and if you have a child, you know, you're likely to be up at nights. But this sleeping problem was this. It was a disorder that was different than anything I had ever seen. She began to stay awake almost all the time, and the sleep that she had through the night was so fitful that we was actually in shift work with it. I'd take it till 3, and my wife would take it till from 3 till dawn, and I would hold her and try to comfort her. She'd sleep 10, 15 minutes at a time. She'd wake back up fussing and kicking. She wouldn't nap in the day. She should be sleeping 14, 16 hours a day, that with sleep at night and napping at her age, and she was getting so little sleep and just fussing and fussing, and it was wearing us out. About 3 days ago, we got an inspiration. I felt like the Lord spoke to me about having her anointed there at the house. I was up all night long with her. And I told my wife, I think we ought to have her anointed and prayed for. And she said, that's what I felt too. So I mentioned it to Brother Lawrence, Sister Maxine, and Brother Tony and his wife was there. And anyway, on the afternoon, I think it was maybe Sunday afternoon, we anointed and prayed for her. Do you know, that night, she laid down. The fit was gone. All that fussing for been weeks and weeks and all that fussing. She laid down and she slept nearly all night long, peaceful. Well, things happen, don't they? Yeah, they happen. Then Monday night, she slept all night long. And then last night, and you know, I'm telling you, this is my testimony. God met us. God answered our prayers. Along with that, without too much details, when I went to ask for prayer, I told those that was there, I want to clear myself first of something that I had been having some trouble with. And the trouble I was having was causing me to doubt the prayers that I was praying somewhat. And I said, I want to clear myself in the matter. And I poured my heart out and told them, this is where I'm at, this is what's going on, and I desire your prayers that I can find the victory in this. And we had prayer, and I felt like the Lord heard that prayer, and I wanted some confirmation from the Lord too. And I got it in the form of a miracle. A child that can now lay down and sleep her naps in the day and sleep at night. I think that she got up, went to bed last night and got up at about 6 o'clock this morning for a bottle and went back to sleep with it and slept in the hours. It was such a blessing to us that I am still rejoicing in my soul that God, the great God of heaven, the great creator of heaven and earth, the one that caused the solar system to back up, the one that split the Red Sea in half and allowed the children of Israel to cross over, that great Savior of ours that said to the winds and the storm, peace be still, and it laid down. That one that's so great and mighty and so important, look down on little old us. Look down and had mercy and heard our prayers and answered us. And I want to tell you today that it is not true that the day of miracles are past. They go on. There is a scripture here in Mark, 16th chapter of Mark, in the 15th verse. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I wonder how far he meant that. These signs shall follow them that believe. Sounds to me like he was meaning one step further than just the apostles, didn't it? They were talking to the apostles, but he said, These signs shall follow them that believe. I don't have any trouble believing this because I've lived it and experienced it. I've seen God work in it and seen God help in my life and do things that was beyond the natural. It wasn't the natural. I can't believe that it was natural. I can't believe that after the inspiration that we felt in our heart. I can't believe after the long weeks of going through this with my child. I cannot believe that after all this and the inspiration and the faith that we exhibited at that time. I can't believe that it just happened the other night that was the night she started sleeping. But I believe in a God that's still alive. I believe in a God that still hears and answers prayers. I still believe that the same God that created us works with us and knows all about us, and who better can? He knows every detail of our lives. He knows how to work with us. Folks, that's the one that we want to have our faith in. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Good enough for me. So I'll ask this question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do the signs. And I don't think he was limiting just these particulars. But I think he was saying that the signs of God in our lives, in the faith that we have in Him, goes on. It goes on to everyone that believes, to every generation that believes and puts their trust and confidence in God. Now, I do believe God has a way of hiding things from those that will not take it. He has a way of hiding it from a generation of wickedness. He has a way of doing it. But He still does it for His children. He'll still answer the prayers of them that believe. And it says, if you lay hands on anyone, the sick, they shall recover. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that there's still a God that works in our lives. So I'm going to tell you some of my experiences. And I know you have yours. I have heard the testimony of the saints. I just want to encourage you tonight that when you think that things are different, when you think that we live in this peculiar time, I want you to know this. God hasn't changed at all. God is still God, and we, by faith in God, can pray our prayers to Him, the one that works miracles. We was cleaning the campground one year before camp meeting. And my little boy was running across the wooden porch, and he got a splinter in his toe. Well, I've had a lot of splinters in my toes. I wasn't too awfully concerned about it, but it went deep. We had to get it out, so we bribed him with an ice cream cone and worked on his toe and got it out. But I remember being concerned when it happened because it didn't bleed. It was quite a deep thing, but it never bled out. And I remember thinking, well, I'd have felt better if that would have bled. But it didn't bleed. And went on, and he seemed to be all right. And it was a day or so later, I noticed him. He started coming down our stairs there at the house, and he started crying. Well, I thought he bumped his toe, and so I investigated, and when I looked at his foot was infected. His toe had got infected, and it was all swollen, and there was these red lines that was starting up his legs, and immediately, that's not a good thing. And I looked at that, and there was concern came, and when that's infected, well, we was having service that night. We was in our camp meeting, so I said, well, we'll have him anointed and prayed for. So we did. We had him prayed for. And I think he went to sleep during service. And after service, we took him home. And folks, these things can be fearful. My little boy's turned beet red all over. And his little old hands swelled up like balloons. They were just red as they could be, and it was all swollen with that. He was red all over. And that's kind of fearful. And I started praying. Now, I didn't pray like we pray in service. I started praying. And he was a fussing and fitful through the, up into the night, and I was praying. And I prayed. And folks, this is real to me. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And way up into the night, the Lord just spoke peace to my soul. And that's the best way I can say it. I prayed until the peace of God came over me. It was just like it came down over me, peace. And I was in a peace. And when I did, I noticed as it came across me that my little boy just quit fussing. He just quit fussing. And I laid my hands up on him to see if he was hot and fevered. He was hot. He had been hot and fevered. And it was all gone. The fever was all gone. And he woke up the next day normal. God had heard my prayers. And it humbled me so much. I am so thankful to God that He's a miracle working God. He still hears the prayer. The Scripture says that you must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He is. And He is in 2011, folks. He still will answer your prayers. He still will work miracles in your life. Don't be dismayed. Don't be taken by the devil and over fearful. We have a God that's still real when we believe in Him. When we put our heart in Him, when we trust in Him, when we pray our prayers to Him, He's still God tonight, folks. And He showed Himself to be that. And He's the only one that can work miracles. Do you remember? I think it was, maybe it was Nicodemus or one that said, "We know Thou art of God, because no man can do these miracles that You do." And God had touched him in a moment, in a flicker. In just a moment of time, God had touched my son, and he was healed. Another time, I was, it was a hot summer day, and I had an ear of corn, and I went to bite on the ear of corn, and I felt a pressure pop or something up above my teeth there. And when I bit into it, and my tooth, it wasn't really my tooth, but up in my gum started really hurting. When I done that, and I didn't really know what happened at the time. And in about 2 hours, I started getting fevered. And I started shaking. It was a real hot summer day, and I ended up getting in the bathtub in a hot bath and was just shaking. My teeth were literally taken together. I couldn't find warmth. I was fevering. My fever had went so high. I went in and laid, and I remember some of my mind was doing things. I got so hot that I can remember I'd been pitching horseshoes, and so I was pitching horseshoes. My wife started talking about doing all. I was doing all in my mind. I kept remembering, and at times I'd even think, "Oh, what am I thinking? What, I ain't doing that." I was laying on the couch, but my mind was doing all this, and they was hearing me do all this stuff, and I was going delirious because of the fever was getting so high, and I was just this and that. And finally, my wife was concerned, and she called for the saints there in Green Bank. Number of saints came over, and I still remember when they come that I was in a world, a foggy world. And I remember my hands was hurting, and I kept telling Sister Billie Jean, she kept asking about me, and I was wanting to go to sleep, and she wouldn't leave me alone. She kept saying stuff, and "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, my hands are hot. My hands are burning up." And I just was in a foggy world. But you know, they went to prayer for me. They got down and went to prayer. And a little bit I was begging in prayer, and they prayed again, and all of a sudden my fever broke. I was well again. Right there, just like that. Well, I told a lady that I know about it, it was a nurse, and she said, "Whoo, you must have some kind of immune system to have fought that off so quick." And I said, "It wasn't an immune system this time that done it." Yeah, over a few days of laying and waiting, maybe you could have said that, but this was God. that intervened in the course when His people bowed down in humility and started praying, Lord, have mercy on this situation. God came down and performed a miracle. Right there. It follows them that believe. All down through the generations, folks, those that believed in God have seen the same things. This is not new to us. This is not new to the generation of people of God. There's been testimonies and testimonies and down through the years and down through the times of people that believed. And the devil wants to tell us in right here in this our time, 2011, that people aren't getting healed anymore. You hear anybody say that? Do you believe it? I don't believe it either. And if there's anything that challenges it, if there's anything that makes it different, it's not God. It's our faith. It's our faith to take it in. It's our faith to believe it. It's our faith to establish Him as the Creator. You must first believe that He is. And I ask this question, do you believe that He is? Because if He is what He said He is. There is nothing made that He didn't make. And it goes beyond, I love this illustration, so you all have heard me say it, but you all bear with me. Because it just fascinates my mind what our God is. You think about those that look under microscopes and see all these little things and all this stuff going. What if you was to take one little square foot of yard out here and really try to look into what's in there? Do you know that the life inside that one square foot is just more than you can think about? The bacterias, the funguses, the microscopic organisms, to the plant life, this stuff. Your mind can't take in if you tried to find out what all is in one square foot out here in red Oklahoma dirt. And that square foot is a very, very small area of Oklahoma City. So what does Oklahoma City involve? More, just think of it. Oklahoma City is not very big compared to the state of Oklahoma. So all of Oklahoma, what is the existence of that? You would spend thousands of lifetimes trying to understand what's involved in the ecosystem of the state of Oklahoma. And Oklahoma don't amount to much to the United States, really. You think of the landmass of the United States. Would you think of that to ocean, the marine life that's on the coast and in the lakes and the ponds. And it's stifling the animal life and all that it entails of life and of what God had done. But the United States is not a big place, not really, compared to the world. They're worldwide in the depths of the oceans and the miles down and the mountains and the glaciers and the poles and under the seas and all the life is in the depths of the ocean that man still has never tapped and don't know about and all of those kind of things. Do you know the Earth is a very small planet in our solar system? I mean, Earth ain't make up a lot of our solar system. If you look at what scientists, I believe that they've been able to do it. And so some of those kind of things. And you can look out into the sky and see, have you ever looked out into a summer sky with the stars shining and say, boy, I feel awful little right now. Have you ever looked at the great creation? You know, Earth don't mount anything hardly to our solar system. And our solar system is like a speck of a pin. In what they call the Milky Way galaxy is full of stars and planets and all this. And do you know that the Milky Way galaxy is but a pinhead to in size of other galaxies and planets and galaxies upon galaxies that spans out into a great fan that's called the universe? And God's bigger than it all. And in 6 days He spoke it into existence. And I love to ask the question, did He exhaust Himself in 6 days? Or possibly He could have created more, couldn't He? In 6 days, He didn't exhaust Himself. Oh, it shows the wonders of God. Do you believe that He is? If He is, He is what He said He is. And He's all in all. He is everything that He said He is. And I want to tell you that He has made Himself available to you and I through the person of Jesus Christ. And He has not quit working in our lives. You must believe that He is. and that He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Folks, I'm telling you, He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Half-heartedly seeking Him, you're on your own. But I'll tell you a promise, if you seek Him with all your heart, in that day, He'll be found. If you will seek Him, the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent, hot, meaningful, put your heart into it, availeth much. God hears and answers prayer. He works in ways of miracles, in ways that defiles the natural course of what He created, and who else could do it but Him? That's why they marveled. See, Jesus had done a lot of things that could be psychosomatic in people's lives, in healings and all that kind of stuff. But they especially marveled when He was on the ship, didn't they? Because something different happened on that ship. Because the sea was raging, remember that? And they was afraid they perish. And Lord, You not care that we perish. You remember all that? And Jesus said, "Peace be still." Now, it's different than the idea that maybe this is psychosomatic, or maybe somebody's pulling a prank, or something that's not real here. They just saw the elements. The wind and the sea obeyed. They said, they never said this in other places, but they said in this place, "What manner of man is this that even the elements obey His word?" He's God. The reason they had to quit when He told them to be still is because He's the one that started them. He had a right to start them. He has a right to tell them to stop. He can do any miracle. Can work any kind of thing in our lives. And over, my wife and I have been on a journey, and sometimes the journey has been peculiar. And sometimes we've said, "What is this?" Several years ago, we got into a line of battles till one battle would not end before the other one would start. I'm saying physical illness in our family. One child would be sick, or she would be sick, or somebody would be sick, and by the time, just about the time they got over it, another one would happen. And it did it for so long, so many times, that we finally said, thinking that if you proclaim it, it won't happen again. There's no way that if you speak it out, I wonder what the next one will be. And then we started talking like that, and I know I was thinking, can't happen again, and again, and again, and again. Another trial. Serious things. My boy's toe was one, but it wasn't the end of it that. Over and over, something else. Somebody was just getting up. The Lord would bless and heal, and just over and over. A year and a half. We was like that. I picked out a scripture that says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of all. And I started with that scripture, and I got to the point I wouldn't even say the beginning of that scripture. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I just get every time something else had come, and I'd say, "And the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And the Lord delivereth them out of them all." And I want to testify to you tonight. The Lord delivered us out of them all. In wonderful, wonderful ways, God touched our lives and helped us and worked in our lives in ways that is... I know you've heard it before, but it's miracle working to me. And God will sometimes use these things in a way, folks, don't shun them. God knows what He's doing in the hearts of men. He knows how to get us to where He wants us to be. I believe the most effectual place that a minister can be in is when he's as little as he possibly can be in. When he feels as incapable as possible, when he is as low as he possibly can get, depending upon God to do the work, as Paul said, with his thorn in the flesh, he said that when I am weak, my weakness is made perfect. God said His strength was made perfect in weakness, and Paul then rejoiced in the fact that I'm weak, that I might have the perfection of Christ, and His strength. Going home one time. My little girl, sitting right there. We believe that she caught two of these bad Oklahoma flus. Had all the symptoms of two of them.
It was two of them going around, and she got, she seemed like she was in the intersection of them. She caught both of them. On our way home, she got so sick, and we was in the van going home, and she started into convulsions. You ever have a child go into convulsions? Some people have fever convulsions. It gets so hot that the body trying to rescue itself and starts convulsing. That's what was happening. You ever have that to happen to you?
Fearful.
I'll testify to you, fearful. Right beside the road, just up there off of 64, pulled the van over. Whole family was calling on God. Me, my wife, my children, everybody was concerned. We was all praying. Not only that, the devil attacked us all at the same time. The Lord was with us. I like to say that an instantaneous miracle happened. I'd like to say that didn't happen that way. We went on home, got on home. Seizures were still going. I had another one when we got home. Dreadful, fearful. I want to tell you the whole story. There were some folks up there that was coming to our service. Never been there before. They were seeking truth. They had contacted me about it, and the folks at home had said, well, we would really rather, told the folks that was coming, said, we'd really rather you not come right now. Our minister's not here. Said, why don't you wait till our minister comes back? I was actually leaving the meeting early so I could go home and minister to the folks that was coming. So the Lord was working. I didn't see it. Well, I trust in God, but I didn't see it. So I got home, and these folks actually come to my house. The little girl was still sick. I was packing her around. She was still fevered. I was packing her around. I'm going to tell you, my mind was so gone. I was so incapable of dealing with anything, hardly, let alone deep spiritual conversation and thought. But they had come for something, longing for something, and God had sent it, and I couldn't see it. Why, Lord, in the middle of people searching for something, with something like this that seems to hinder so much? And so I thought, I remember thinking it, I can't preach Sunday morning. Lord, my mind's gone. I can't even think of a clear thought. And so I said, I'm going to call Brother Tony. He lives in Kentucky. I said, I'm going to call Brother Tony. And the Lord said, no. I remember the impression, no. And then I thought, Brother Clint's just over in Cincinnati. He's always willing. I thought, I'm going to call Brother Clint. And the Lord said, no, this is yours. Oh, I wanted to call help so much. And the Lord said, this is yours. And I said, yes, Lord. But I don't understand how it'd be possible that I can do anything. I tried, but I couldn't do it. But I'm going to tell you what happened when there was a poor old country boy that was down to the end of his rope and didn't know how to think or what to think. Service come, and I was begging God, Lord, you're going to have to help us. I don't know what to say. I don't know. This don't make sense to me. Lord, help. And all the service was going on, and I was begging, Lord, help. Help. You know, that feeling went with me all the way until I got about right like this. And then it started. It was totally gone. And it was totally miracle for me. I could not. It was like, Lord, and the words, the thoughts, they was coming and coming out so fast I couldn't hardly get them. I mean, there was, and the Lord blessed. And it's not my preaching. It was the Lord being faithful to honest souls that needed something, that needed help. God used a vessel that He prepared. The only thing that I had into it is I said, I'll trust You, Lord. Lord, I'll trust You that You can do it because You made the universe. Because You created everything. Because You're God to me. Because You've done it before, Lord. You've worked in my life. You've healed my children. You've healed my wife. You've healed me. Lord, You've done these things in my life. And I'm going to trust You when it don't make sense. But I done it. I still remember the brother when I got through. Drained in spirit. So, and body was drained. I walked up to the brother and said, glad you came. I hope you'll come back sometime. And that brother said, if you're going to preach like that, brother,
I'll be back.
And then he told me, God met our needs. That was so directly to us. God met our needs, what we've been praying about, what we've been asking Him about. He met the needs. I couldn't have done it. What would you say to somebody that had needs when you don't know what they are? So God worked with us as we traveled home through the way of draining us, bringing us to a place for honest souls that were crying. You believe in miracles? I believe in miracles. I'm going to tell you something. Your life is no different tonight. If you have a need in your life, God wants to perform a miracle on you. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be healed tonight. And He's God enough to do it. If we'll put our faith and trust and confidence in God, He'll work miracles with people. He'll cause the table to be spread in front of our enemies for us. God will work in our behalf if we'll give Him our lives. God wants to heal and help and bring us to a place of wholeness and wellness. And He wants to do it. Oh, I mentioned the other night, but we'll tell you, miracles. God knows how to work with me. My mother used to call me, and I don't like to just say this out. I don't think it totally fits me, but my mom used to say it. Morty, you're like an old mother hen with them children of yours. Well, I do feel that way about my children. I do. And God knows it. When He wants to touch the heart a little bit, that's what He'll do. I get real serious. And I start saying, Lord, I mentioned this the other night, last year up in Wisconsin. Come down to the end service, the little boy got sick. He was complaining, crying, wanting daddy to be there and pray, and I had to go preach. Oh, that pulled on me hard, and Lord knew what I needed. I went to the tent meeting feeling like, Lord, am I going to do this? Mine's over there, and I don't know what to do, and all that. Got in the pulpit, same thing happened. Lord was trying to get me in a place to be able to work with these people that had came. They had come with such longing for something of God. They wanted it so bad. And you know what God did? He performed a miracle. He done what man can't do, because the fact of it is about everything God does in the way of a miracle. He worked through a man that did not know who the people were and touched their lives with it. He worked through a vessel. It was His Spirit. He worked. That's what He wants. He wants to be able to use a vessel that He can perform the miracles of salvation with. I'm going to tell you, miracles follow them to believe. Miracles accompany salvation. They accompany it. They go along with it. Miracle after miracle has befallen our lives. Called my sister one day and she said, Marty, the greatest miracle happened to me. Well, what would you think? A great outstanding healing of the body. Or, I just walked on the water. Or, you think about it. I levitated in the air. The Lord took me to the third heaven. You think of it. What's the greatest miracle? She said, Marty, the Lord done the greatest miracle on me. Well, my mind started wondering. And then she explained it. He changed me. He changed me. I was praying about something that was plaguing me. I couldn't get the victory over. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And the Lord touched me. And she said, I waited till the opportunity that it should be a certain way. And it wasn't. And it wasn't. I got victory. She said, that was the greatest miracle that the Lord changed her. And is it not? Isn't that what we want from the Lord? Is a change in our life? I want to look at another scripture in the 9th chapter of Mark. Oh, see, it's picking up. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it has cast him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, does that expression express pity to you? An almost loss of hope? If you can do anything. This sounds desperate to me. The Lord don't mind when you get desperate, folks. Not at all. Not at all. This man came to a point of desperation. Probably had tried many things and ways to help his son, and none of them worked. And even come to the point that the disciples didn't work. If thou can, you ever get to a place in the being wooled and of life and of the devil and all these things, that you get into the place and say, I can hardly find relief anywhere. I don't know where hardly to turn and to get it. This man said, if you can do anything, have mercy on us. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I think that those words should be forever etched in our Christian experience. If thou canst believe, all things. You want to, Brother Sam, as you say, all means is all. That's all means. You can't put any other definition on it. He said all things are possible for them to believe. We don't have to be under the yoke of bondage. We don't have to be in a state of depressions and those. All things are possible to them that believe. I believe that God still is a miracle-working God. I still believe that He wants to work in the lives of people. But let's do get it right. We don't always expect God will do things in the line of miracles. But He'll leave us in places of times to perform His will and do that. Don't get into the place of false idea here. It's more about trusting God for our lives than it is chasing miracles. It's more coming to the place and seeing, I'll be honest with you, I want to see God. I want to see Him. I want to see the work of God. I like seeing when God heals and touches. Because it is showing that God's there and working with God in us. I was testified the other day, I think the Lord testified to me through a miracle of touching my child of an acceptance of a clearing of my soul. And God said, I accept that. I accept it. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be the same way, because the truth of it is you can't have anything that hinders that you believe. You say, I believe that He's God Almighty. I believe that He can do it, but I don't believe that He will do it for me. What's hindering me? What's hindering me? I believe that God wants to work in every one of our lives and perform these kind of miracles. I do want to look at one more scripture and bring out a thought. It's a very familiar scripture. It's in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. We're all probably familiar with this scripture. The first verse, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? You picture the scene? They've been dead a long, long time. They've been away from life for a long, long, long time. And he said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I'm going to tell you, I think it challenged him. "Well, it don't look possible to me." That's God's perfect opportunity when it don't look possible to you. It don't look like it. And I want to bring hope into your life tonight. That loved one that may seem so far and going farther, we've all got them. It can be like that in our lives till we say, "I think hope's gone. I think God wants us to lift up our heads and our faith to Him and say, it's still possible. Oh Lord, I believe that if the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man and people that get down before the Lord, a travailing church, I believe that God will do the utmost that He can to bring people. I will always believe that there is a choice in salvation, but I will say this, God will bring them to their ultimate opportunity. God will bring them down to the recognition of need in their life. And you know, that's our duty. That's our faith. God can still work miracles. When you didn't think it was possible, when it was beyond the scale of possibility. Son of man, can these bones live? You know what his answer is? He didn't want to say yay and he didn't want to say nay, sounds to me like. "And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." You know, it'd be something if when we got saved, the Lord just translated us out of here and we was in a glory land somewhere. But it don't work that way. Got saved some 25 years ago. Been battling the devil. Been facing things. Going through the trials of life. Trying to endure this thing out. That's what life's about, isn't it? I'm going to testify to you. Ain't all been peaches and cream either. There's been times that I wearied. And I wearied hard. You ever get weary? Be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged tonight. We serve a miracle-working God. You say, "I don't think I could ever have what I did have." You can have that and more, folks. God can restore you. You say, "Oh, one time my experience was so rich, so full. I believed so much, and the time has robbed me of so much, and now I feel like dry bones. Can they live?" Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Prophesy to them. God can do something. "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay a sinew upon you, and will bring you up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Now, he says in this next verse, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part." God was talking about a people that went away from God and dried up and felt like that there was nothing else left for them. And the Lord said, "There is. There is. There is life. There is life, and He holds the keys to it. He can bring it in any time He wants to. Oh, saints of God, be encouraged tonight. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Be encouraged in the battles of your life. We serve a miracle-working God. We serve a God that can change the course of a man right down to the death door, and He can bring you back out. God is not affected like you and I are. But God is alive and working, and miracles still work and reign, and I see them often in my life. I like this story. I'll tell it in closing. Came out to Sepulchre one time to hold a meeting. Was at the house one day seeking the Lord for a thought. Lord gave me a message. And I was always encouraged when I feel inspiration for the night message. But there it is. That's what the Lord wants, right there. Feel the inspiration. Brother James calls. He went down and does jail ministry. He went down to jail. Got down there, and they were supposed to go in two by two, and the other two of him wasn't come, so he was in a bind. He said, "Brother Marty, I'm in a bind. Got to go in two by two, and I ain't got nobody else to go in with. I just wondered, would you come and go in with me?" He said, "You don't have to say a thing. You don't have to do a thing. All you have to do is go in with me." And I said, "Oh, I'd love to. I've always wanted to do it, and I'd love to see." So I said, "I'd love to." Well, he didn't tell me to do anything or bring anything. He just said, "Come." Well, I didn't take no identification or nothing. Well, got there, and they said, "Well, I need to see some identification, know who you are and all that." Well, we was in a bind there, and the old fellow we was running the thing, he was an old Bible thumper, if you want to call him that. And he said to me, he said, "Did you bring your Bible?" And I said, "Yeah, I brought my Bible." And he said, "Give it here." And he took that, and he went over there, and he laid it down on the man's desk, and he said, "There's his credentials." Guy kind of looked up at him and said, "All right." "Got my credentials right here. Word of God." We went inside, and I was just amazed. Went in there and went into what they call pods. We was going to about five of them. Brother James took me in there, and we was kind of visiting. I was just kind of visiting with Ben. He done this little study type thing, and I was amazed. He was using the same scriptures that the Lord gave me that morning. I didn't know nothing about it. The Lord had inspired me with those same scriptures He was using. So we went through that, and finally it went to the second one. At the end of the second one, when he got through, he turned to me and said, "Brother Marty, do you have anything you want to say to the guys?" And I said, "Yeah, I kind of want to go with that." And I said a little bit of my burden, and still had burden left, but I spoke a little bit of the burden. And the third pod we went into, Brother James went in and said, "Ben," and he said an introduction, and he said, and "this is Brother Marty, and he's got a message for you." And he just stepped back. You know, as a matter of fact, I said, "Matter of fact, I do." By the time it was all done, we come back late. We was having service at 7 o'clock. Coming back, and it was going on 6 o'clock. We had to go to the house and change clothes, and then we had to drive all the way to the chapel. And we was going there, and all of a sudden I realized, I don't have no burden. I don't have no message. And I won't have to preach in a little bit, and I don't have a thing. What am I going to use? What am I going to do? You know what the Lord said to me? "I ain't worried about it." That's exactly what came to me from the Lord. "I'm not worried about it." I'm going to tell you what the folks in Sepulchre, and it's not me, folks, and you know it. Folks in Sepulchre said, that night was the most blessed night of the meeting. It's no wonder that it was, because I didn't have nothing to do with it. I was just saying, "Lord, you're going to have to fill an empty vessel." And the Lord blessed it, and the anointing, the blessing was there. He's still a miracle-working God. He still is faithful to the people that are hungry. He's still faithful to those that believe, that put their heart and their trust into Him. I'll say this, there's nothing too big. What's amazing is there's nothing too small. God will work in our lives, folks. And I hope this is an encouragement to your faith, but there is nothing that you can't take to our God. You can believe in Him, and I assure you, if you would be willing to shut the strings to the shoreline and go all the way into God, you will never regret it. You will see the mighty working hand of God in your life
and you'll be able to testify to it. And I'm not going to lie to you and say it's not been fearful sometimes. It's not been scary, and the way seems dark. And sometimes I haven't even been able to see through the end of the tunnel. But what is the scripture there? Is it 284 says something about faith, unfailing eye. Sometimes you can't see it with the natural, but by faith. One scripture says, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe to see it. I didn't see it. Believed to. I had faith to. I saw through the storm. I saw through the trial. I saw through the problem and saw God bring me out on the other side. God's a miracle working God. You pray for me.